TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Raised by Wolves.
Yes, it is. Welcome in. Raised by Wolves. Danny Cunningham, Dane Moore. And we are just hours away from free agency, Dane. It's creeping up upon us.
Yeah,
it's a lot of hours, but it's still hours.
I'm excited.
I'm really excited. I think we're going to see fireworks. It's going to be an incredibly interesting free agency period, not just involving the Wolves. I think involving the Wolves, but
everyone
across the NBA. I think there are going to be fireworks Sunday starting at 5:01 Central Time or whatever time it starts now, which was a good decision by the NBA, by the way.
But I was talking to Manny before. I was like, you guys, I mean, maybe there isn't the hunger in Minneapolis at large, but you guys could like run a 90-minute NBA free agency thing on like the actual radio. Like, it's that interesting. There's that many.
Well, we'll do you better. We're doing 2.5 hours.
Yeah, we're doing 2.5
on
Sunday.
Why did you say that? Yeah. There we go. All right, I'll tune in.
Can't wait.
4:30 to 7.
So like free agency day.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Ooh. We are live and local, Dane. If you want to hop on, you're more than welcome. I don't know what you got going on, but it's going to be a party at Score North Studios. I promise you that. It's going to be an exciting time to be a basketball fan.
Christmas in the summer, man. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah, Christmas in July is overrated. We're talking June 30th. That's the real Christmas for basketball fans.
It's just like I think a lot of basketball fans are maybe more than any other sport, like to do the armchair GM thing, right? It's just kind of easier when you got like five guys. Like,
I don't know if it's more than any other sport, but I think it's the sport that you're most tuned into.
Well,
seems that more so because, and it seems like that more so to me, but I'm sure if I dug deep enough into who I followed on Twitter and things like that and read more football articles or baseball articles, I could see all of these proposed trades. And part of it is that the ESPN trade machine is a big deal and they don't have that for football or baseball and stuff like that. So that goes into it, but I think you can dig deep enough and find people that are like this for other sports, but basketball probably is the most prevalent.
It's just interesting to be able to be like, all right, let's just say Kemba Walker, and then let's talk about Kemba Walker on the Celtics versus Kemba Walker on the Lakers versus Dallas, and just kind of being able to think of, you know, what does that mean for that team? Where do they become? How much does that move the needle? Or, and even just on the fringes, like what type of, with the Lakers, what type of, you know, role players do they need? What's the best utilization of the money that they have? Do you want to get shooters? Do you want to just go and get one guy and go cheap? It's like, it's just an interesting sort of game theory to all of it. And it's super complicated because the CBA is like way too tricky in the NBA. But there's so many different ways to go. And I think that's why on June 30th, like, people are going to be tuned in and like, have their Woj bombs.
It's going to be fascinating. I mean, you better have your Twitter notifications on for Woj, for Shams, for Chris Haynes, for all of these newsbreakers. Don't get faked out by a non-verified account. Make sure of that.
How is that still happening to people, though?
Because people are dumb.
Like,
what do you mean? How is it still happening? Well, people are stupid. What do you expect?
How do you not, like, it's so easy. Just look for the check mark. Just look for the check mark.
People are dumb, man.
How are people still like falling for like the fake Woj accounts that have like 7 followers? I don't get it.
And I don't know. I just feel like if it's got 1 million retweets in like 3 minutes, then it's the real Woj. If not, then you're good. Like, yeah. I don't know. Like,
so let's dive into the Wolves, and we can get on a lot of the other NBA free agents later on in today's show. But you wrote something really interesting for ScoreNorth.com the other day about the point guard situation, because that seems to be the lightning rod of free agency for the Wolves, because that the D'Angelo Russell guy in Brooklyn has been connected here, so fans have really attached onto that. Take me through, give me the 2-minute summary of that article before we dive deeper into it, Dane.
Okay, I think the way to view it is in two separate parts. It's going to be a sign and trade, 99% chance if it happens. Because it's a sign and trade, you need to look at Brooklyn, and they're not going to take any money back. The reason they want off of Russell is because they want the 2 max slots for Kyrie and KD. So you then need to look at part 2, which is finding a third team to throw the money to. And so you need to compensate Brooklyn for facilitating the deal.
Correct.
That's part 1. And part 2 is seeing how much it requires to get off of $21.8 million of Jeff Teague and whoever that may be. Obviously, that depends. It's more compensation if it's Andrew Wiggins, if it's Gorgui Dieng. I think it's less if it's Jeff Teague. But you need to You need to figure out what that compensation is. And that's the kind of tricky element of it. And I should say that where that 21.8 comes from is that to make a deal for D'Angelo Russell on his max, your total outgoing salaries need to be that times 125% to equal Russell's.
Yes.
So that Russell's salary, if it's a max, is 27.3. So you got to do 21.8. Jeff Teague is 19 of that. And if you throw in two minimum contracts, I put in the article, Keita, Bates Diop, and Cam Reynolds, boom, that's exactly 21.8. So I think that's the outgoing portion of that. It's hard to know, you know, what sort of compensation. Let's call it the Knicks. They're taking on Teague and those guys. What type of compensation is that?
Does the contract have to be guaranteed? Because is Cam Reynolds' contract guaranteed for this year? Like, is that something that could be a holdup here if it's...
It's guaranteed.
Okay,
you,
sure.
They would need to guarantee it because it would need to be $28.18 million guaranteed dollars going to T-Max. But, you know, that's part of it. Cam Reynolds is close to, if not a minimum contract player in the league. It's not the... It wouldn't be the end of the world. I think that's reasonable. You could throw in a million different types of ways to do it, but it's 21.8, I think, is the highest amount of outgoing money that you could possibly need to send to another team. If it's Jeff Teague, I think the cheapest way to look at it, if it's Jeff Teague, Keita and Cam are neutral assets. They're just minimum contracts.
Yeah.
The question is how much would you need to pay the Knicks, for this example, to take on Jeff Teague? I think, conservatively, it'd be a future first-round pick.
That's fair.
And then for Brooklyn, that's the weirder angle of it. It's like Brooklyn is already going to, if this deal starts manifesting, they have already moved on from D'Angelo, so they don't have any interest in him because they have Kyrie and KD coming. So you're just throwing them some kickback for making the deal happen. With Danilo Gallinari is the only other sign and trade that's happened under this collective bargaining agreement, under these rules. Denver just got a second round pick for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people are like, well, you're going to need to pay a lot more for D'Angelo Russell than just a second. It's like, no, it's D'Angelo Russell on a max contract, which is not a great value. And it's a max contract that Brooklyn doesn't want. So I would say, in my opinion, and I'm guessing, but I think it's an informed opinion that would be at most a future first round pick. I said like 2022.
Okay.
So look
and
like,
protected, I'm assuming, too.
Yeah, probably lottery protected, something
maybe
like that.
Maybe even top 20.
Yeah, something along those lines. So call it that 2022 and then throw the Knicks the 2020 next year's first round pick. You can lottery
top
protect
five
that too.
Protected.
Something like that. Or, I mean, now if you're trading two picks, you got to kind of figure all that out. But I think, I mean, really, and I don't know, correct me if you think it's different, that would be the maximum amount of assets going out that it would take for it to happen.
I think the first round pick to Brooklyn might even be a bit much.
I think so too. I do too, but I would rather
you're right with maximum. Yeah, you're right with maximum. I can't see the Nets requiring more than that to get this deal done.
And again, the one historical precedent we have is the Gallinari trade, and it was a second round pick the next year.
Yeah.
So that, I really think that's
the worst
case.
And you would also
case.
Have to question, do the Nets want a first round pick? If they're going to have all the if everything plays out the way that the Nets want it to this offseason, where they land Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, like that is their goal.
Sure.
Their ideal offseason is that. Are they going to want the guaranteed salary of a first round pick at some point? Or do they just view it as a future asset?
I think you just view it as a future asset. I mean, who knows
what you could use it for.
If it's 2022, like what that could be. I think that would be a haul if I'm Brooklyn, who's already
for doing nothing, really.
Yeah,
you just kind of you helped out a little bit,
and you'd also, I mean, this is kind of minutia, but you get a trade exception that could help them in the future, like maybe at the deadline if they're
pretty
trying to pick up
one
someone
too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I mean it's not impossible, and I think that's my frustration why I wrote this is that the perception is that it's such a long shot, and it's not more likely than not that it's going to happen. But the things that need to fall in line is Brooklyn needs to get two max players.
Mm-hmm.
That seems pretty likely. Then D'Angelo Russell needs to choose a team to be signed and traded to, because this only happens if he signs off on it.
Yes.
And I think, I mean, yes, there's a few different teams out there, but I'm pretty sure he would be as interested in going to Minnesota as some of the other Indianas and Phoenixes or whatever. Like,
and certainly Cat being here would help his interest in wanting to come here.
You would think. I think
seems where all the smoke is coming from.
Right.
Right. And so you got the two maxes. Doesn't seem ridiculous. D'Angelo Russell being interested in coming here out of the teams who are willing to pay him that much. That's not a huge crop. Like, not every team in the league is like, give us D'Angelo Russell on a max contract.
Yeah.
If the Wolves are one of those teams and Russell's like, yeah, I like that team, that doesn't seem unrealistic to me. And then it becomes the facilitation element of it, of can you get someone else to take Jeff Teague? Can you get Brooklyn to agree to it? Like, I don't think that threefold is that impossible. The impossibility of it, which is just, I think, born out of people not understanding how the CBA works, is they're like, well, you need to go and create cap space to sign D'Angelo Russell. Like, no.
That part's not happening.
No. That is impossible. Yes. That is impossible.
Not impossible. It could be done, but it's not.
I mean, no, but that, like,
let's go into it. There's 6.3 over the cap, and to sign Russell to a max, that would be 27.3. So you're talking about cutting $33.6 million.
You got
to
get off Wiggins, Jang, and Teague for the most part, right?
You would need to get off of two of those.
Again, not really impossible, hard. But not happening.
Yeah. So, but the sign and trade, like 21.8 with Teague's not that bad. Like, you can get off of Teague's 19.
You said this on a podcast that we did in, like, April.
Months ago.
There are worse things than having Jeff Teague as your starting point guard.
Absolutely.
You, you said that months ago, and I've repeated it since, because it's incredibly true. There are worse things in the NBA than October 30th or whatever day opening night's going to be this year than when your in-arena host announces your starting point guard and it's Jeff Teague. That's really not that bad.
I mean, like, okay, so I would say comparable point guards to him at this point are Ricky Rubio and Darren Collison, who are both free agents this summer. Mm-hmm. I think both of those guys are going to be getting between $9 and $14 million, depending on where they go. And I think Teague is in that bubble. So it's not like, if that's Teague's market value, let's call it 12, like, it's a one-year overpay of $7 million. Like, yeah, that's not...
Especially when you bring up the Knicks, they're a team that if they strike out in free agency, they're going to be searching to get to the salary floor, which is 90% of the cap.
And it's like, it's a one-year deal for them. That's a $19 million cap space gift card for next year. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, Teague expired. Cool.
Yeah.
On to the... Now,
you're welcome.
Let's try and get someone else next year. Like, I really don't think it's ridiculous. It does require a sequence of events to fall in line, but I don't see any of those three things as preposterous.
How much does the timing of everything have to be perfect for this to happen? Because I do think that that's the most complicated part, where you don't want one of these guys to decide too early and then Brooklyn rescinds the restricted offer to D'Angelo Russell and he becomes an unrestricted free agent, and then you're kind of out of it, I would guess.
Well, it seems like KD's the question mark there, right?
Yeah.
Like, we can kind of presume Kyrie's happening.
I think Kyrie's happening, but the timing of Kyrie's a question mark, too.
Yeah, well, then that's just the...
And he's a hard guy to predict, man.
That's just the inherent ambiguity of free agency, though, is that it's like cut off these 6 days for you to, like, figure out free agency, but the timing is important. But a lot of players are, like, dragging their feet, and they're thinking about it, and they're taking meetings in different places. Like, yeah, that could delay it, but if you're the Wolves, like, what else are you waiting on? It's not like you're like, well, all right, this D'Angelo thing's taking too long, like... Let's go pursue, like, Jeremy Lamb. I don't know. I mean, it's like, it's, I think they're going to be like,
you sounded real excited to say that.
I don't know. I'm assuming that's what they'll have teed up. They'll have other, you know, other plans if that doesn't happen. But I would assume that's like option one that they're hoping manifest. I mean, what do you guys think about Russell at the max?
I don't think he's a max level player, but I also understand if you're the Wolves, you probably have one shot at this with your cap situation. You're kind of in the middle. You already have your franchise player. You kind of have one shot to find that sidekick. And if you feel as if this is it, you've got to do everything to make it happen. I wouldn't necessarily, if I were a general manager, I probably wouldn't be interested in paying D'Angelo Russell the 27.3 or whatever his max is. Mm-hmm. But at this point, and it's not my money, you kind of have to take that shot if it's presented to you.
It gets the ball rolling, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're Rosa's and the Wolves, like, you're moving in a direction.
Well, and they have shown aggressiveness already in moving up, and it was Dario Šarić was the price to move up from 11 to 6, and I've written that. Whether or not Culver works out, he's being aggressive, and I think that was a win because it shows that the direction that they're going in is going to be an aggressive one. They're not going to leave stones unturned.
Yeah.
Once they didn't get the fourth pick because the Pelicans traded with the Hawks, it would have been real easy for them to be like, all right, we're going to end up sitting here at 11. But they found a way to move up to 6 still, and that's a good sign if you're a Wolves fan, I think, about this front office.
I feel like with D'Lo, if you're giving him the max, it's an overpay, but it's not a drastic overpay that's going to crush. I think the positives that you would be getting out of getting him mm-hmm. outweigh the negatives of paying him maybe $5 or $6 more million a year than what he actually should be getting paid.
I hear what you guys are saying, and I think it's attractive. But we're like 6 months removed from D'Angelo Russell being nowhere near a max player.
Yeah.
In the mm-hmm. perception of everyone. And he had a great second half of the year. Once Caris LeVert went down, like, he was the guy. Brooklyn got,
They built their offense, not built around him, but he was the focal point of their offense. And he was an all-star, and he deserved to be an all-star in the Eastern Conference.
In the East.
Yes, you have to preface that, but you're right. He deserved to be an Eastern Conference All-Star this year. He really did. He had a great year. I don't know that he'll be that same guy moving forward, but I'm also pretty confident he's not going to be the Lakers' D'Angelo Russell ever again. And part of that is it takes guards, especially lead guards, it takes them a little while to mature for the most part in the NBA. We've seen special cases, and of course you can point out exceptions to every rule, but we've seen guys that when they come into the league as a 19-year-old point guard, it doesn't work out right away. It's going to take 3-4 years. And Russell's a great example of that, I think. I don't know that he'll be an all-NBA player or a consistent all-star or even a max-level guy that you think of, but I don't think that he's going to really regress from what he was last year.
Yeah. No, I think I agree with that, but there were flaws to his game last year as well.
Oh, no doubt about it, yeah.
Like, they ran the pick-and-roll all the time. They ran it all the time, and it's like he ran a lot of pick-and-roll. He wasn't necessarily, like, the best player, and they ran it more than he was good at, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Like, he's not Kemba and he's not Damian Lillard in the pick and roll.
Correct.
I would classify both of those guys as way better athletes than Russell.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, how that makes them so much stronger in the pick and roll is they can get to the shot quicker and they can get to the rim quicker. Like, Russell's got a good shot. I feel like he's fine at that level of the pick and roll, but at the rim, he's not. He's not anywhere on those guys' level. Maybe the place he's better than them at is, like, once you kind of get, I call it the Jeff Teague range, you know, you, like, get the screen and then you kind of just, like, delay up at the free throw line. You're like, what's happening?
And then
he's good at that.
And he hit a lot of floaters this year after getting to that spot. That was one part of his game that really improved. And I will say one thing that he does have over Kemba and Damian Lillard is those guys aren't the size that he is. Russell can probably put on a little bit more weight and strength, too, at this point. He's 6'5", where those guys are 6 foot, 6'1", I don't know what Dame's listed at, but he's got a significant height advantage over them, too. He should get better at the rim than he is.
He kind of, like, where he really uses that size, it's kind of like Chris Paul, where I know he's taller than Chris Paul, but Chris Paul uses his strength to almost, like, box out slash post up, like, once he's got a guy on his hip.
Chris Paul has a phenomenal lower half in terms of strength. Like, and he is super strong, and he's only 6 foot.
And I would say that's the better, I think, comparison for Russell is not peak Chris Paul, but, like, kind of that guy who, like, I can step into a three, but I'm really going to work you once we kind of get into the read and react zone, but I'm not great at the rim.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it is. It's obviously intriguing, and you get the ball rolling, and it's exciting. But if we do the hypothetical trade that I laid out, which is Teague, who's the one going, you still have Wiggins on the books, you still have Cat on the books, and then you have Russell, and that's $82 million, presuming a max for Russell. It's 82 to three guys.
And three max guys on your roster.
For it, you better start winning.
Would have 4, 5, and 5 years left on those deals.
Yeah.
Like, that's a heck of a commitment. I don't know. I think the conversation deserves both sides to be considered because it's not going to be cheap. It's not going to be cheap with Russell. And you still have Corgi Jang, who's there's another 16. So now you're 98 to four guys.
Mm-hmm.
Salary cap's 109.
109.
Corgi goes up in another year. All those guys raise.
I think and they're probably down two assets in terms of trying to unload Corgi or Andrew after next season.
And that's
assets to do that.
And that's why everyone's like, you know, you do the D'Lo thing, you figure it out later. The later is figuring out Andrew Wiggins.
Mm-hmm.
And if you figured out D'Angelo Russell and you've used the two assets, whatever those may be, those are two assets you don't have to use to get off of Wiggins.
Yep.
Which I think we all share the opinion of that's probably going to ultimately be something that needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And unless he really turns it around this year.
Yeah. Which I mean, I'm really am a believer it's going to be better. It has to, like,
I don't think it can be worse.
Exactly.
Man.
So that's, I mean, that's
it's hard to disagree with you. Yeah. I mean, this was my first like real Andrew Wiggins up close and personal experience this year.
That was tough.
And it was not a pleasant one in terms of just what he can do, what he did on the floor. I think he will be better because I don't know how he couldn't be better this year.
Well, he can't be utilized worse.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying?
And so he won't be. He won't be. I'm very confident in that.
I was having a conversation about his 3-point shooting and Jarrett Culver's too, which there's skepticism about Culver as a 3-point shooter, and obviously we know there's all sorts of skepticism on Wiggins' shot. But I think for both of those guys, they have high quick releases and they're athletic enough to get the shot up. And I think that in and of itself can make you an above average 3-point shooter in the league. Like, I've said this before, I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, I know Jarrett Culver shot 30% from three last year. Wouldn't be shocked if he is taking the majority of his shots or catch and shoot threes, and he's up there at like 37%. Wiggins has done that before. Well, like, that's something
he mentioned, too. When we talked to him after the draft, that's something he mentioned where, you know, in his freshman year where he did shoot 38% from three, and I realized that there's a... Evaluating a college three-pointer, it's a difficult thing to do.
I don't like
it either.
Well, what was I say about Josh Okogie coming out of Georgia Tech?
38%.
Yeah.
And then shoots 29 in the NBA.
Right.
Like, it's not a great comparison, but he did say a reason that his shooting went down were the types of shots he was taking at Texas Tech, where he was essentially their offense, and that's obviously not going to be the case in Minnesota.
No, and so that's reason for optimism.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I'm trying to bolster what you were saying. Yeah,
and I think Culver's an interesting element of the Russell. You know, if you go down the Russell track, because again, you're giving up maybe two first round picks in the not so distant future, and maybe you're giving up more picks assets down the road to get off of Jang or Wiggins next year, the year after that, or something like that. Like, this is, if you make the trade for Russell, it becomes all the more important that Jarrett Culver is not a swing and a miss.
Yeah.
And like,
but it also becomes, there is plenty of reason for optimism, because if you feel as if you've got two legitimate all-stars and the sixth overall pick, if he becomes what you think he can become, the future becomes really bright.
Do you have any, like, I know the comparison thing is really hard to do, but I'm struggling with, like, picturing him as, like, an NBA player right now.
Yeah, I hate comparing him to, like, other players that are in the league. Like, I don't think it's fair to him. I don't think it's fair to the other players.
But more, like, role, even. I guess I just, like... I have to imagine his usage is going to be low.
Yes.
But he doesn't play basketball as a low usage shooting guard. He's never, I mean, he just.
Do you think he can be a smaller version of Robert Covington?
No, because he's not. It's getting hyperbolic in the way he's being labeled as a defender. Like,
sure.
I mean, we got to pump the brakes there a little bit. Like, not that. Robert Covington is elite.
Oh, yeah.
He's elite. And. Okay.
He was a defensive player of the year candidate before he got
hurt. And
will
be next year. Like,
yeah.
Jarrett Culver is not the physical specimen that Robert Covington is either. He weighs way less than him. His arms are way shorter. He has really good
hands.
And
he's shorter, period.
Yeah.
Like, Covington's
like 2 inches shorter.
6'9", 6'10".
Yeah, he's like 2 inches shorter than
Depending
Covington, 30
hair,
pounds lighter. Like, and his wingspan's like
How is he
almost
30 pounds lighter than
he's 194. He's 194. That's
Robert
really
Covington's
like,
really skinny.
Yeah, he's really leg skinny. He's really like ankle to kneecap skinny.
Yeah.
He's got like Corey Brewer legs, but Covington's got, he's got like the broad shoulders and the I don't know, he weighs a lot more than Culver. It's
the Corey Brewer legs.
Culver is physically Allen Crabbe.
Yeah.
Like that's who he is right now. I've talked to people and it's like they're like, he's going to be able to put on weight. He doesn't have that weight right now. And he's going to get body a little bit. He's not the physical athlete he is. He doesn't have the wingspan. I mean, there's skepticism, I think, that he's for sure comes in and is like a solid defensive piece like Okogie was. Like, I don't think you're getting the defense of Josh Okogie. Granted, I think Culver will definitely be an better offensive player this year than Josh Okogie was.
Sure,
last year.
I think he'll be a better shooter for sure, and he's not going to have high usage. And maybe with Okogie it was a little unfair because I think that his offensive role had to be more than it ever should have been as a rookie because of the situation that the Wolves were in. So maybe that part's a little bit unfair, and it was just too much for him then. And that's something to think about.
And he's just more chaotic. Like Culver's just a more. He's more chill, like in the way he pursues
not
the basket. Yeah,
he stops
sometimes. Yeah. I don't know. He's really interesting, and I just think he's an important part of the calculus. It's hard for me to have a really strong opinion on him, but I'm just not buying in that he's coming in, and we're looking at like 2-3 years from now where he's in like the all defensive conversation. Like I just don't think that's likely.
Sure. If it does hit, though, if he becomes and he doesn't have to be an all defensive guy, but if that pick is a hit, like if he becomes the third or fourth best player in that draft, this team can become really, really good in 2 or 3 years.
It's no miss time. You can't miss on anything anymore.
Absolutely.
And whatever these deals are, you can't pay D'Angelo Russell an average salary of $30 million a year if he proves to be a $15 million player. Like you can't do that. You can't pay Tyus Jones $10 million a year if he's a $4 million a year player. Like I don't know if that's what those guys are, but like the margin for error is so thin.
Does anything with D'Angelo Russell shut the door on Tyus Jones, do you think? What do you think the relationship there is between acquiring one, keeping one, whatever?
Yeah, I think Tyus can be a backup.
Do you think they'll pay him to be the backup?
That's what's hard to know. I mean, let's see what this restricted market plays out for Tyus. Like,
the restricted market's going to fascinate me. I'm really curious what Malcolm Brogdon from Milwaukee gets from somebody. I don't know if it'll be
a lot
Bucks.
More than Tyus.
Oh yeah. That's a no, they are far different tiers. But I'm just talking out loud here.
But like a Kelly Oubre, like I have no idea.
Or
like Kelly
what's
Oubre.
Terry Rozier going to get after down here in Boston?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's because he's a year removed from being really good when Kyrie was hurt.
And even signing it down more, like a Frank Kaminsky.
He's not restricted, actually.
Well, but still
they
that
pulled his offer.
Just a young guy.
There were a couple of guys that I was kind of surprised to see didn't get qualifying offers.
And I think, me too. Probably a lot of those a product of just trying to open up as much cap space as possible when July 1st
like
rolls
Stanley
around.
Johnson didn't get a qualifying offer.
Yeah.
He's someone that might interest me a little bit just to take a flyer on depending on the price.
I've loved Stanley Johnson and have been so wrong on him. I mean, he's stunk in
the
NBA.
Do you remember when he said he was ready to guard LeBron in the playoffs his rookie
year? Dude, I honestly think that's why people still think Stanley Johnson's good. Like Stanley Johnson would be interesting. He for the Wolves too, like beyond D'Angelo Russell, like if that happens or not, they're going to need to like come together and get like three interesting, really cheap guys. And like Stanley Johnson, that's, you know, that's a name there. Like
take a swing.
Sure.
And it shouldn't be an expensive swing.
No, him like at Kaminsky, like, you know, you got no stretch big without Sarri. There's a lot of very flawed guys.
Kaminsky could look really good in Milwaukee.
Yeah, sure.
They could make him look really, really good in that system.
I think that element, not just for the Timberwolves, but for a lot of these teams who are going to be so top heavy, it's going to be important that, you know, you get the $2, $3, $4, $5 million guys are serviceable.
I think the playoffs this year showed us just how important depth is too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, finals for sure.
Well, I mean, no team is going to survive. We've seen this. No team is going to survive two max players like having devastating injuries. You can't survive
in the
that.
Middle of the finals.
Yes.
Yeah. I think
name a team in the history of the NBA where their best player can tear his Achilles, their third best player, fourth best player, wherever you want to put Clay and Draymond, can tear his ACL and they still go on and win the finals. Name me that team.
It does not exist.
Exactly.
They're an interesting team too. Like, what the heck do the Warriors do?
Yeah, I asked Manny this. I don't remember if it was an episode earlier this week or late last week. What seed do you think the Warriors are going to be in the playoffs next year?
Because I bet it's higher than people think.
They've been the one or two. They're not going to be one or two. I cannot fathom them being one or two in the West next year. I can't. Klay's not going to play until after the All-Star break. Kevin Durant, if he's still in the organization, is not going to play at all, I don't think.
But here's the thing, though. Like, I know they're in a weird salary cap spot really tough. But so are the Rockets. So are a lot of teams. Like, the Warriors are still in championship mode. Like, yeah. They're not going to just they're not going to just step back and be like, well, we're going to take this year off and wait for Klay to come back. Like, they're going to be as creative as anyone. They're going to, whether it be in free agency or at the deadline or whatever, like, they're kind of going to be flying by the seat of their pants, but I think their expectation is to go to the finals again. And it's open. Like, who?
It's open. It's open because of everything that happened to them.
That's true.
Like, yeah. That's why it's open. It's not open because, oh, whatever. It's open because of the things that happened to them. They are the reason it's wide open.
That's true. That is, yeah. I'm fascinated by them because I think there's going to, I mean, just like last year where they got Boogie. I don't know. The Warriors are going to do something like that where you're like, what? They got this guy? Like, I just feel like
something's
going to happen.
But who's that guy that's coming off an injury that'll take less? Because
I don't know. I don't have the answer.
It's not like they've got the money to go out and get a max guy. Like, that's not.
But they have the allure to get a guy to go there for less than their marginal value.
Sure.
And, I mean, I don't know. Like, they could bring Boogie back. That doesn't
I was going to say, what is Boogie going to do?
The Knicks. That's gonna. The Knicks
There's
are gonna strike
paths.
Out. They're gonna land Boogie. That's what's gonna happen.
It's Boogie gets a balloon payment someplace, like a 1 or 2 year deal, or he comes back to Golden State.
And honestly, I'm not sure Boogie would want to go back to Golden State just because I do think he ultimately wants to get that payday that has eluded him because of these injuries.
Yeah, but
and
he
going
did get
to
a max before,
but
Sacramento.
But it's the money now would severely outweigh that. I think that him going to a place where there's not a ton of pressure to be like, we're trying to win a championship with you right now, where you can he can go put out 22-8 or whatever and prove that, okay, he can still play, he's still a max player, and then get paid. Right. I think it would make sense for him to take a 1 year deal in a low pressure environment.
Yeah. He's also 28 still. It's not that old. And Achilles, of course.
That's why if you've got 1 year to prove you can do it, you can get people will, someone will pay him a year from now.
Yeah.
If you can get 1 year, $18 million, whatever, I don't know what a contract would look like, but a 1 year deal for a significant chunk of change and then try and get a 3 or 4 year max.
I think that's the most likely.
Yeah, I think so too.
That probably happens. But again, there's the.
But who knows?
It's also wide
open.
It's also wide open. I'm trying to find out. He's made $86 million in his career.
Yeah, I mean, his next contract should outweigh that totally.
Yeah.
Well, not his next big contract. I think that he takes a 1 year deal, which obviously would not be greater than $86 million.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Save big money at Menards. Keep your lawn looking its best with Menards' premium four-part fertilizer program. Each step is tailor-made for the health of your lawn. Get started this spring with a bag of crabgrass preventer with lawn food. Apply just once early in the spring to feed your lawn for over 2 months. Pick it up in our garden center today and check out Menards.com for more hot deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
So elsewhere in the NBA, something interesting happened today where the Lakers just keep adding on to the trades. They now only have, I think, 3 players under contract, maybe 4 players under contract.
It's just 3.
Yeah. But they've got a max slot now. I'm curious if they know something. I'm curious if they know something about what could happen Sunday because Anthony Davis waived that trade kicker and they opened up another max slot. They've got the $32.5 million. I'm really curious now about
LA. I don't
think
Pelinka knows anything, but I think LeBron James might know something. Yeah.
So who did that trade then? Because I think LeBron knows a lot of things. I'm not sure how much of the ins and outs of the CBA and stuff like that he knows.
But Pelinka's got guys in the front office that hopefully he's finally using now.
Well, I mean, Magic Johnson didn't know it either, so.
That's true. But maybe.
But he's excited on Twitter.
It is. It's 3 guys. It's LeBron, 37-4. Anthony Davis, 27.1, and Kyle Kuzma, 1.9. That's all there.
Kuzma, great value.
It is. That is a great value.
I'm really curious what's going to happen there. And now it's been reported that Kawhi Leonard's going to listen to what the Lakers have to say in free agency. I still don't know that. I
that
feel
would
like
stink.
The Lakers are I definitely wouldn't call them the favorites. I don't even know how truly part of the race I think they are. Like, I still think it's a two-team race between the Clippers, excuse me, and the Raptors, but I'm really interested in LA.
Well, isn't it just funny that if something just really weird happens, like whether it be to, you know, Kawhi going there or like KD going somewhere, it seems like we've already chalked him up to Brooklyn. Like,
yeah.
There's so much potential for high-end ripple effect in this that, like, really will affect the total amount of cap space out on the market. Like, if Kawhi doesn't, if he stays in Toronto, he's not eating up any of the cap space.
He's not taking a max slot from one of these teams.
Exactly, right. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that, like, that has a big ripple effect if KD stays
in Golden
State.
That could mean
State.
More money for someone like Chris Middleton.
Sure, yeah. Or it makes it, like, it makes it more, yeah, it makes it more tenable for, yeah, to the Chris Middletons or the, like, what, to the middle tier guys, rather than getting, like, that $9 million mid-level, maybe they're like, well, shoot, we got, like, $29 million left in cap space, like, here, Danny Green, we'll give you $21 million on a one-year deal. To like, I mean, I don't think that's what
like
happened
the
to J.J. Redick.
J.J.
Yeah, that's
Redick.
What I was
going
to bring up in Philly 2 years ago.
That stuff, like,
he
that,
got, what
did he get, 19?
I think he got 23.
23 for 1 year.
And well, then he got another 1 year. Yeah, I mean, it's just, like, it's a supply and demand, like, calculus for all of this. And I think it's top to bottom interesting. And even to bring it back to the Wolves, where, you know, they're kind of capped out at, like, the $9 million mid-level thing. You know, if it could, the difference could be if all of those guys go and fill up the cap slots, right? Like if Kawhi goes somewhere else, KD goes somewhere else, and you're eating up all the available cap space, that drives down a Patrick Beverley's market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that drives down a Trevor Ariza's market. And then maybe like the mid-level is the best that those guys can get.
I still feel like Patrick Beverley is going to be more expensive than the mid-level. I'm not sure that he's going to be a name that's really worth bringing up. I mean, he'd be a good fit, don't get me wrong, but I think he's going to be priced out of the Wolves' budget.
I kind of changed my tune on the mid-levels. I was really into Beverly idea, but I'm with you that I think odds are it'll be more than that.
I think he'll probably get like 14 or something like that.
Yeah, we sometimes get like too locked in on the whatever that mid-level line is for like guys, and then all
it's
of a sudden
9.2?
Like, yeah, 9.2. And then, but like I remember last year, I was like, sure, like Will Barton would be under that. And then all of a sudden he like re-ups with
was it 452.
Yeah, it's like that's way more, you know. And so it's interesting there. But what I was going to say is I've changed my tune on the Wolves to, I think what they end up doing is splitting that mid-level in half
amongst
and
two guys,
getting a $5 million guy, $4 million guy.
I think that's smart.
I mean, it depends who's the mid,
sure,
who's the $9 million guy you can get. If it's Beverly, then no. But now I don't even know like Jermichael Green. I like that. He might be more than nine, though. Yeah. Like
I liked Jermichael Green 3 years ago.
I wanted
the Wolves to go after him 3 years ago.
Yes, the Teague and Gibson year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was my whole thing on Gibson. After
2 years ago, not 3 years.
Yeah,
ago.
Yeah. But I was with you. I really wanted Paul Millsap or Jermichael Green to come to Minnesota for that. But it's that's a perfect example. Paul Millsap ends up signing a 3 year $90 million deal, and I think Jermichael Green just lingered out, and he signed like a 2 year 11. Like we think we
and it
have
was late
these
too. He
it's
signed like really late.
Yeah. Like we think we have an idea of what these guys' markets are, and then it happens. Free agency starts happening, and Kawhi dilly dallies for 6 days, and you're like, all right, well.
I'm curious how long some of these guys are going to take to decide.
It's just there's another ripple effect in and of itself. Like we don't. It's not just pure market where we can say, all right, there's X amount of dollars of cap space times their wins produced equals like this, and we assign them all like. All it takes is one or two weird things happening, and it all changes. Like, and I think when you're the further you are down the market, like with the Wolves, with only really $9 million worth of spending capability, you're just caught in that wave of like, let's see how this shakes out, and hopefully, you know, somebody falls to us in a range we feel comfortable with. But they might, I mean, they could just be way more conservative and just bring back their, you know, incumbent guys like Rose and Tyus or Taj or, you know, something like that. Like it feels like we've almost moved on from those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like how many people out there think Taj Gibson's gonna be on the Wolves next year? It's like no one. Everyone's like, oh, Taj is leaving. Like I don't know, Taj could come back. He could be like They need another big man. Yeah, he can't shoot threes, but like Taj would be fine on a 1 year, $5 million deal. Like, maybe that happens.
I don't know that he takes that for a team that's not chasing a title, though.
Yeah, but
that's.
I'm with you generally, but how do we know? Like, we don't really know. Like, it could. I don't know. It could just go in a lot of different ways, and it will be dependent on what his market is. Like, is there a contender out there who's like, we need Taj Gibson?
I'm excited for something that's going to come out of left field too. The Kyrie trade request from the Cavs just came out of nowhere, and it's like,
That was in August too. Yeah. That wasn't even like during the free agent.
And it was
period.
For Isaiah Thomas. Yeah, who was really good then. Like, there's waves coming for sure.
All right, before we get out of here, I have one more question.
Uh-oh, you're smiling.
Yes. 501, who is the first player to agree to a deal? Entire NBA. 501 on Sunday afternoon. Who is the first guy that is tweeted out by @WojESPN with a contract? Because I remember my favorite one of these ever was at 1201 on July 1st, 2016.
Al Farouk Aminu?
Timofey Mozgov. Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Oh, man. See, part of me wants to say it's going to be Kyrie, just because Kyrie is so volatile and he's so unpredictable that, like, the thought on the surface is that, oh, Kyrie's going to take a couple days because he's kind of weird like that. But then, like, because he's weird like that, he'll be the first guy to agree.
According to Instagram, Kyrie's in Japan right now, and I'm not sure when Kyrie's coming back from Japan. So I'm going to say no on that one just because of that part of it. But I wouldn't be stunned. I think it's going to be someone like if Ricky Rubio signed at 501, I wouldn't be shocked.
Well, isn't that, I mean, that's kind of the Mozgov. Yeah. And I think Aminu was the next year where it's like, you're throwing 4 years at me right now? Like, yep.
Hell yeah, sign me up.
Right, before that goes away. Like, I don't know, would maybe like a Rubio, Darren Collison? Collison to the Lakers? Like, I could see him being the starting point guard for the Lakers.
Ricky to the Pacers or something like that, maybe. Yeah.
Dude, that's the funniest triangle. I tweeted this out the other day. Because, okay, so Jeff Teague, before he came to the Wolves, right? He got replaced in Indiana. He was in Indiana. Then he was replaced by Darren Collison. And Teague replaced Rubio in Minnesota. And now Rubio is going to replace Collison in Indiana. It's like, it's the weirdest triangle ever. Like, and it's all these guys that Tibbs either really likes or hates. It's
who would have thought?
Yes. It's super bizarre. No, I don't know. Maybe T goes to Utah. No, he can't go to Utah. They already got Conley. I don't know.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
Those three are weird.
Can't wait for it.
I can't either. Maybe it'll be Anthony Tolliver somewhere.
Maybe he does another announcement video like he did. Own decision video or whatever.
I wouldn't rule. I mean, he's probably one of the Minnesota guys I would see is most likely to come back. Like the unrestricted guys, which not necessarily high, but he's still here. The need for a stretch big is as high as it's ever. I mean, it's gone up, you know, like I could see Anthony Tolliver back here.
I'm not sure how likely it is. It's going to be interesting.
It just sucks. We're gonna have to start talking in way more like definitive terms now. Like the past month, you just thought D'Angelo Russell sign and trade. Like maybe that'll look super dumb in like 72 hours, or he'll be on the Wolves.
He could be on the Wolves. So it'll be interesting. Free agency starts Sunday, 5:01. I know all three of us can't wait for it. Going to be a blast. You can check us on Score North as we'll be talking about it. As it happens, we'll be live at 4:30 Central Time, Score North, 1500 AM, scorenorth.com, everywhere you consume us. Check out Raised by Wolves on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can find those in the Google Play Store. Download the all-new Score North app. You can find that at the Apple Store, Google Play Store, wherever you get your apps. It's there, so check us out there. Find Dane's piece on the point guard future for the Wolves at scorenorth.com. It's a great piece. Be sure to check that out, and we will talk to you next time.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.